with some of the automobile-related complaints that we can't handle. There are federal and state laws that are being abused terribly. One of those, especially, is the lemon law. Probably somebody here was, I've heard about 15 people said that I was directly connected to the lemon law. It's the worst piece of legislation that has ever been put into effect in the last several years. It has no powers whatsoever. The people are, it's being abused. It's even going so far as to abuse the Federal Trade Commission 703 requirement, which is a part of that lemon law. We had a lemon law at one time in our state legislature through a lobbying effort from, I don't know who it's from, that changed this system. And as of now, as it was written, it was a good law. And right now, the way it's done right today, there is not one challenge in this state, not a buyback has been done through the lemon law in the state of Alaska. Not one. As of today, not one. There was a recent case where the BMW was bought back, and it cost, by the time it was through BMW and the local dealership, it cost them $75,000 in order to get out of that situation. That was not a lemon law issue. There was another one, there's one being right now that they're trying to go around it completely, that through Chrysler and Ford is the biggest enemies of all. They're completely ignoring the Federal Trade Commission.
Well, I'm a little confused. How come nobody just gets their own lawyer and enforces the law?
Why don't they?
Yeah.
What does it cost for an attorney? I mean, a man has an automobile he just bought brand new, and he can't get the automobile is completely out of service, and he can be completely ignored.
And they're not following the law, but the courts aren't enforcing
that's
the
right.
law.
That's right. Who enforces it? I mean, there has to be an agency.
Somebody has to bring a lawsuit.
That's right. Somebody has to. And who is that? That's Mr. Joe America, which it cost him thousands of dollars to get that case into court. And you're not fighting just a common individual. You're fighting Chrysler Corporation. You're fighting Ford. We have, with the Better Business Bureau, we've had about 18 or 20, I don't know what the figure is now, buybacks of automobiles in the last year. And not one of those has been a Ford or Chrysler product. I can name several other agencies. Now, agencies. The agencies, locally, the dealerships themselves have done a good job. They're doing all they can. There's no backup from like Chrysler and Ford.
This federal code you mentioned, what is that?
There's a federal, the Federal Trade Commission has put have what they call a 703 law. Within the first year, the person owns that automobile, they have been to the shop numerous times, and that problem cannot be solved, or a repeated problem that they can't solve that problem with that automobile, then by law, federal law says you can notify that agency within 60 days. He has to be heard by an appeal board with the corporation himself, the manufacturer. You have to be heard within that 60-day period. That has not been done in the state of Alaska today because it's been completely ignored. And that's the reason I say our consumer protection for the state of Alaska has to be funded to where they can back up that law. Right now, they can't do it. They don't have funds to operate.
What would be an adequate level of staffing for the consumer protection arm of the Attorney General's office, in your opinion?
Right now, I understand that they're down to $100,000 for this past year. $100,000 that you cannot do. You can't even do anything. You can't even take anything to court. You can't do this with that type of money. You're talking about $2.5 to $3 million a year in order to have a staff big enough to handle all of the problems that they can handle or are capable of handling within the state of Alaska. You're talking about a lot of money. They need 25 to 30 people on that staff. They really do. We're plagued with, right now, the people in the state of Alaska are being plagued with out-of-state scams and schemes having to do with telemarketing people. All of us have gotten calls from travel agencies or that sort of thing. Thousands of dollars have been taken out of the community. Literally thousands of dollars. I mean, we're not talking about a few. I've had 10 calls in the last 4 days. I gave them my credit card number. I mean, what do you do? These people are just stealing the money. I put a person in on an unsatisfactory business performance record. I get a threatening telephone call from him yesterday from his office down in Austin, Texas. And he says, I'll see you. And I says, get in line, fella, because I'm going to tell everybody the same thing. All of those that are taking money out of our business community, we're being inundated by that situation. We need, the Better Business Bureau has no regulatory powers. We get our we get our clout from the business community itself and what we're doing and the relationship that we have with the business community and our membership, of course. But our hands is tied as far as regulatory powers are concerned. I personally have put cases together, taken them to consumer protection, and they have, up until not too long ago, they have been able to go out and actually make it a cease and desist on a business that's an unethical nature. They have in their hands right now two different cases that I have right now that I put together, took it down to them, and they can't get to it. They don't have the attorney staff to put the brief together to even take it to court. They can't do that. They need a staff of attorneys as well as people that's working on these cases. Their hands are tied. This is a serious issue in the state of Alaska. I want to really emphasize that because it's a very serious issue. We are, like I say, our hands are tied. We act as an information center, so to speak. We're getting, it varies quite a bit, but I'd say we average 150 telephone calls a day.
You wouldn't believe the opposition, though, there seems to be to expanding the jurisdiction of the Small Claims Court. I've often felt that on consumer issues, the Small Claims Court should have jurisdiction going much, much greater than it already has. But it's like pulling teeth. I mean, those proposals have been in year after year, and they don't go anywhere.
Small Claims Court cannot act out of the state of Alaska.
Yeah.
In order to act out of the state of Alaska with one of these scams and schemes and these telemarketing systems that they have going on right now, the Small Claims Court can't do anything.
Yeah, but at least you could handle the local problems if you expanded jurisdiction there. You could enforce the Lemon Law on it. You could do that.
You're right. You're right. Who's going to enforce that as far as getting an attorney that's going to fight one-on-one with those corporations?
Well, see, that's the point. If you could put it into Small Claims and keep it there, you know, the average citizen can litigate things on your own there.
I know
facts are on your side, you should win.
I know what vehicles right now that are sitting idle in people's yard that's a year and a half old that they cannot do anything about it. They're still making payments on it. Their automobile's not even drivable. It's not even operational. Yet they're still making payments on the automobile and their hands are tied. They can't do anything. The Lemon Law, of course, is a very serious issue because that is one. But the other one is who enforces it? We have no... There's a serious issue having to do with complaints or problems having to do with scams, schemes, and ethical practices in this state that's serious. Who takes care of those today? We took one of the recent cases we put together. You probably saw the publication, the Special Olympics. The people that stole that money out of there, they should be arrested. They should be come before the courts to decide what the legality of their operation is. But they're still going. It's an ongoing operation. They just took another operation down just in the last 2 weeks. We just come out the other day with the autistic children. The same group took the autistic children for thousands of dollars. They took the Special Olympics for $80,000. But yet, what I'm saying is all of these unethical practices, there has to be an organization that gets behind that sort of thing. The police department can only go so far.
Sir, as you know, we're heading into a new budget cycle, and there will be review then of the Attorney General's budget again in Consumer Protection Division. And you obviously feel very strongly about this, has the State Chamber of Commerce or the Anchorage Chamber Legislative Committee adopted a position or a priority for the next session as to funding for consumer protection? That may be an avenue for you to pursue to have some influence on the monies that we appropriate.
The Better Business Bureau, due to our posture internationally, we have 203 bureaus worldwide. Our philosophy is to be self-regulating. Okay, we do the fact that we're completely separated from the state, the federal, and local dollars per se. That we have a certain posture of being self-regulation. Therefore, we do not get into the areas of lobbying. Maybe that's what I'm doing right now, but we don't get into those areas. One of the big things that I see right now is that we need funding, sure, to get this economy going. We need the loan packages. We need the proper thing going. But we also need to protect that small entrepreneur out there, the small businessman, those that get the invoice in the mail. Just in the last 5 days, I get this complaint. An agency down in California sends the people that has the logo on it, the walking fingers or the yellow pages, pay this bill immediately, final notice, past due, pay it immediately, $29.90. Little Susie, she makes out there. I'm sure you use that word. But anyway, she pays the bill, right? Take the check in, and here's an old bill of the telephone company. Well, it's a ripoff. It's a scam. It's a scheme. I mean, it's an unethical type of thing. But we need somebody, an agency of the state government, that's going to say we've got to take a stand on this thing.
Well, I understand that, and I understand the position of the Better Business Bureau is not to directly lobby the legislature for funds or political action, but I'm just suggesting to you, if you want to have an impact on the state budget in this next cycle, that you might make a presentation, if you haven't already done so, to the state chamber or the Anchorage chamber, to their legislative committees, and see if they feel the same way you do. They can have a powerful voice in the legislature because they do routinely lobby for state programs and funds. And if you convince them that this is a big problem, as a lot of us sense that it is, then they can directly lobby us, and maybe we'll beef up the Consumer Protection Division of the Attorney General's office. Otherwise, you're just, you know, this isn't going to go very far.
Mr. Ross?
So I'd make that suggestion.
One thing that Mr. Hayward didn't mention is that the Better Business Bureau is doing, and we're doing, we're co-sponsoring, but I don't know if Mr. Hayward knows that, and that is an arbitration, to talk about commercial arbitration for small businesses to eliminate the stacking in the courts and the costly legal ramifications for small business. And we're co-sponsoring that in December. We're going to keep pursuing that too, to talk about commercial arbitration, some ways to make small businesses maybe come up with quicker resolution to some of their problems.
Yeah. Well, yes, I appreciate your comments. What responses are you getting out of consumer protection towards your knowledge?
Excellent response. The people and the staff that they have down there right now, it's Robert Mintz and Scotty Dawkins.
Scotty Dawkins.
And these people they've given us all the time that's allowed, I mean, for the ongoing problems. Very cooperative.
But are they being able to really, like the special collector, which appears to be a real big problem, I call it a little bit, are they being able to get on top of those kinds
no.
of things? And
no, not at all. It would take staffing, because you're talking about investigative situation here, to where you have to actually go out, not take the Better Business Bureau's word for something. You have to do that investigation on your own. You have to go out and seek the answers. And the only way to do that is through investigation. These people that they have with consumer protection right now, excellent job for what they're doing. These people are working overtime, everything they can to do what they can, but right now they close the doors to consumers. Literally.
I'd like to follow just one more question. Are you getting any assistance, particularly with the Special Olympic Revolve Bureau? Are you getting any assistance from APD or the state troopers?
We turned in the complete package to the APD. We turned in the complete package to them. We had all the documentation necessary to go forward. We had bank statements. We had checks written. We had the complete dossier on that type of organization. We had a complete thing. All of the facts, all of the figures necessary for them to go out and say, okay, come forward and tell us what you did. At least get to that point. As far as I know right now, that hasn't been done. I don't know that that's been done. That's not only the same one. It goes on with other. There's probably, we get telephone call a couple of them a week. We had one just yesterday. A gentleman says, I used to be with this organization. I quit it because of the unethical operations having to do with this charity. Now, it is a very serious issue. And
well, I think everybody up here recognizes the importance of consumer protection and is real disappointed in the current status. Of course, that was a proposal from the administration to cut back radically on that program simply because they're to the point where they're not even prosecuting misdemeanors anymore, even crimes against persons. And it's gotten to a real terrible state. All over the state of Alaska right now, as far as that's concerned. So we certainly share your concerns. I'd like to, you know, tell you that, you know, I'm personally going to work on trying to get more money for consumer protection. You need to talk to the administration. You need to talk to the Chamber of Commerce and get them to do a lobbying effort for it. Maybe to make it a higher priority for them, maybe we can get some impact. We only got about another 15 minutes, and I'd like to...
I might add one more comment. To the people here that have state agencies and work with state agencies, I would like more information from you as to your functions and whatnot, because we do, on every day, we pass on people to the Department of Commerce. You've gotten notices from us many, many times.
Oh, yeah.
And people that we pass on information to these people, not necessarily pamphlets or whatnot, but we say, go see these people, they can be able to help you. Or the Department of Insurance or Real Estate or Finance, whatever. But we are a referral organization, and we're more glad to do what we can to help this communications effort to get these people to the right agency.
Good.
I could even put it, I edit a newsletter, and we put it out once a month to, I send out 1,000 letters a month, I can even pass on information that I can, as an enclosure for you, if you like, and anything to help you communicate with that, with the business person out there.
Okay. Now we're down to about 10 minutes. If there's anybody has
I just have to leave too, and I would like to leave you with a positive thought about the Alaska Association of Manufacturers. As I've been speaking about, there's businesses that need to go by the wayside. I want this group to understand that we are pro-business. We would love to see industry come in here. The thing that's strangling the state is a lack of market for people that are in business here. And we need industries in here. It was extremely distressing this last year when in the Alaska magazine, there was just a brief little paragraph in there about Owings Corning came through Anchorage looking for a place to locate a factory with 200,000 square feet and 100 employees, and they just kind of drifted into town and drifted away. The manufacturers is working at the present time to begin to prepare a policy on manufacturing for the state that we will be knocking on your doors with here later. I was in Idaho recently at a Rotary Club and mentioned that I had a furniture manufacturing plant. Before I got out of the building, they had cornered me and said, we need a furniture plant here. We've got incubator businesses. We've got state money. I mean, they are calling people. When they come into the state of Idaho, if you're in a business, you know that they are looking for businesses to come in there. Alaska, we feel, is in a real catch-22 situation. Everybody's out and wanting the state to promote businesses coming here, give incentives for businesses to come here. But we're sitting here, we're a state that has no state tax. Where does the state of Alaska ever recapture those investments? If you're in a state where you're taxing employees, well, naturally, there's a real reason to put incentive there for the state to help put things up to bring businesses in. I don't know how we're ever going to overcome that hurdle, outside of eventually we all know a state tax will go back into place. We're not advocating that. We're just telling you we realize that that's a problem. Everybody's asking the state for something, but nobody ever tells you where it's going to come back. And we acknowledge that's eventually where it's going to come back. We are going to be able to go to the state or when the state tax is in there and say, here's an industry, you can give them some breaks to come up here, some incentives. They're going to put 100 people on the tax rolls, and it'll begin to return. Right now, we have no idea. What you could do, though, one little law you could pass would be go down there and say that absolutely no raw product can leave the state. That would cure a lot of problems for everybody, even with timber, if it was just one step through processing. The jobs that would be created would be astronomical. The coal that we ship out of here, it's ripped out of the ground. It's about 30% water content. If we just had a process set up where that coal had to be put through one step, the raw product didn't leave the state. I realize this is a pipe dream, but I'm just saying that these are things that could be done that could really help. The problems that we run into every day, it was so ironic. I had breakfast the other morning with Wilson Hughes, president of InSearch, and he was sitting there crying about a project that they're doing, that they're bringing spruce in from outside because it's specified. A specific product has to be used there. We've been trying for years to get someone to make sure that when you're writing specs, that it be, if an Alaska product is available, an Alaska-grown product, spec an Alaska-grown product in there. It would also be great if we could get them spec'd FOB Alaska, not FOB Seattle. It's just incredible the number of times that we go into bid jobs and in order for us to be competitive, we got to deliver it to the dock in Seattle.
State jobs.
Mm-hmm. Continuously happening.
We've talked to the Department of Commerce about that.
About a million times.
Administration about last year.
I think the thing that happens, you know, and everybody gives us that same answer, everybody's shocked when that continues to happen. But what happens is everybody agrees to it except the man writing the specs. And he's sitting there in the office, and he's pulling the spec sheets out of a book that's this big, and when it comes to writing in Sitka spruce, he just writes in whatever's said in that spec book. Every time I bid a job with furniture, you know, inevitably it'll say brand a product similar to Brand Rood furniture. When you're bidding the contract, most people bidding it, they call Brand Rood and get a price. It doesn't say that they have to deliver Brand Rood. It just says a product similar to. But if it was...
Is this going on, what, is this happened very recently?
Happens continuously.
Well, I know it's been happening continually, but when we confirmed a couple commissioners, I spoke to them about this, and I said, maybe it's time we had somebody responsible for this issue. I mean, one person is supposed to go out and, you know, track this stuff down and take care of it that we can talk to. And Gary Pesca said to me, well, I'm responsible and I'll take care of it. I'm going to be Commissioner of Administration. Now, are you telling me it's still going on like last couple of months or so?
There's still some specs that come out that are that way.
Well, we need to know if it's happened in the last few months because we tried to hold some people accountable.
Okay. We will get you the information.
Get us the information.
That is another thing that our organization is going to do. We
try and document some of this stuff.
Absolutely. We're going to be a collecting point where we're going to tell our members when you encounter this, contact our office because we've got a direct line to the people that needs to know and can do something about it. So we will be doing that. Another thing that we're encountering in business that just drives us crazy is insurance. There's some tort legislation down there now that could be a real benefit to some of us if we can get it out of committee and deal with it. I personally, in business, my insurance is so erratic, it's unbelievable. I'll go in, prepare a budget for a year, comes time to negotiate insurance, and I put in $30,000 and suddenly it's $60,000. That happened to us last year. This year we turned around, some of the rates have dropped back down now, but now workman's comp, which we're going to hold some hearings on that, is 25% jump. So it just becomes a yo-yo for us out there trying to deal on a continuing basis. You know, it's so erratic. Those are some of the small things, you know, that we love the idea of a bidder's preference. But I think you'll find that a lot of the businesses in Alaska, you know, if all we want is a shot at it and a chance to bid equally. A classic example, we've done some work for the Alaska State Housing Authority. We reupholstered a lot of panels for them. We did one office 1 week. Went in, did the competitive bid, got the job. Turn around the next week, we got another call from the Alaska State Housing Authority. We want to do some panels. Okay, fine, you know, we just did some. Well, that's not my office. There's so many purchasing agents for the state, it's astronomical. I mean, we entered a deal here where these offices are next door to each other, and we dealt with two different people, delivered two different samples, two different bids. And, you know, we told them, so, well, they've got the samples next door. Well, you know, that's their office. We're doing this over here. This is our budget. It's that communication thing again, or centralizing some of this stuff, where there's not, you know, it's, we hit that with the federal government, too. You know, we'll go out and do a contract for the federal government, and the general secretary will end up being the one that totally decides whether the job's accepted or not. It's just incredible. But we do need some way that we as businesses know who to contact to find out what's being left for bid. These aren't things that are advertised. These are just things where somebody picks up the telephone and calls, and they'll pick three businesses out of the telephone book and get a bid. And if you don't happen to be one of the three that's phoned, you have absolutely no knowledge it's even being bid. And you know, we're talking about jobs that sometimes will run $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. So that's some of the things that you will be hearing from us on. But we do want you to understand that, you know, we're not sitting pointing fingers at the state, you know, that you're the bad guys. There's bad guys out here too. We've got guys in the community that will, you know, step over a nickel to up a dollar if they can do business with the outside. I just am in a project through Cook Inlet Housing Authority that's the HUD project that Siri is handling. Those people, everything that they did on that job that could be done locally, they went local bid on. It amazed me. They were sitting telling me the other day the fights that they've gone through from bidders outside, because not all awards were to the local bidder, but all of them were within close enough that they felt that it was Alaska money and it should be spent in the state. If we could deal with that with every business in this state and every individual, our problems would be solved fairly quickly.
That philosophy is really rampant, and people, I think it's the Alaska Manufacturing Association, and I think it's in the state, just really projected to people in the community, why send it out of state to be manufactured? Let's do it here in the state, because like Jim says, we're going in cycles. And the cycle of the last 2 weeks has been, I have a manufacturing idea, and I want to develop it, and I want 3 plants, and when I'm here, here, and here. I mean, these people have ideas for keeping the jobs and the revenues, the profits, here in the state of Alaska, so the word is getting out. It's really exciting. I wish that people could tap my office, but it's illegal, but because it's really exciting that people have these ideas that they want to keep their families here in the state of Alaska after this last 6 months and year we've all gone through with everybody leaving. They want to stay in Alaska. They want Alaska-made products. They want to get in touch with Kathleen, so on and so forth. It's working. The word is getting out, and Ernie said it is optimistic.
Well, just a comment. Ernie, you mentioned the tort legislation and its effect on the insurance rate. One thing to be mindful of is from the information that we're getting, the legislation passed already and that says pending will not affect your insurance rates. We need to be really careful on that. There's a lot of pressure to pass some tort legislation. Insurance companies have told us repeatedly, and they still don't insure can support that, told us repeatedly, it's not going to affect your rates. It's not going to make them go up or go down. We may have some other ripple effects, so please be mindful of that in your lobbying effort.
Oh yeah, we're very aware that it's both sides of the fence. The insurance company's going to get everybody that they can get. We're well aware of that.
I just wanted to ask on a follow-up, what has transpired regarding Governor Cooper's small business conference task force?
Ginger, do anything about that?
No, it was proposed, and in fact, as of April 23rd, there was a request for information from small businesses. Jim, I think you and I have discussed this just briefly, but...
Is this on the Governor's Conference on Small Business?
Correct.
Oh, it's going ahead.
Okay, where is it at?
The conference is going ahead. The task force was set up to help run the conference. And we're at the point now where we're about to set up the actual steering committee that will run the conference. First thing's going to happen will be next fall. The first meeting will be next fall, and then the governor's conference will be next spring. So it's
could I be enlightened a little bit, or the group be enlightened a little bit as to, since we're talking small business here, just what the plans are, who the people are, and what it is.
Okay. The governor has proposed to have a conference on small business called the Governor's Conference on Small Business, based after the pattern of the White House Conference on Small Business. Basically, it is set up for the conference itself to be the spring of '89, with the regional hearings the fall of '88. So we're looking 1 year down the pike. The money for the conference is in the budget this year. What we have been doing over the past 3 or 4 months is taking a reading on the public sector as to how much support there would be for this kind of a conference, and the fact that the governor wants to be assured that there will be a sizable private sector contribution to the running of the program. No, this is going to be a partnership between the private sector and the governor's office in putting on the program.
How much funding has been targeted towards this year?
We've got it's $100,000 in the CIP budget.
Ginger, what time do we start this afternoon on the workers'
Dave, I would like to make one last comment. We, as the Manufacturers Association, feel extremely good about response and the relationship we've had with Commerce and Economic Development. We've got some things we're doing jointly. They've basically been saying, tell us what we can do. I mean, everybody feels the state is doing everything that they can as quickly as possible to help solve these problems. And I personally feel it's probably the first time that we've all been really trying to pull in the same direction. I think something's going to come. I feel very positive about it. But we've really had a good response and always a positive response from Congress.
Ernie, is somebody from your group on the Governor's Trade Alaska Board?
It's real interesting, the Anchorage Economic Development set up and everybody. There's not a manufacturer on any of those boards. I couldn't tell you why. We'd be more than willing to send a representative. All we need is somebody to ask.
Well, this afternoon we're going to hopefully hear the first proposal from the Labor Management Task Force on Workers' Compensation. And anybody who's interested is certainly welcome to come to that. Very topical, and some impacts all of you, that's for sure. So we'll adjourn till 1:30.